Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We now have an older society in New York, heavily dependent on services, but we don't have the younger society, the new workforce, providing the broad tax revenue base.
David Paterson as Lieutenant Governor, talking about one of New York State's big problems on this show in December. You know, one way that he's different from Eliot Spitzer, he represented poor people in the legislature for 20 years. So you wonder, will he be immediately asked to reconsider a state assembly proposal to raise taxes on people making $1 million or more a year? Governor Spitzer rejected that idea just last week, but the new fiscal year begins April 1st, and the budget isn't done yet. Here is Assemblyman Richard Brodsky on this show yesterday.
I think on economic policy generally, Eliot was something of a royalist. Take a look at tax policy. We've had proposed by Governor Spitzer a set of fees, taxes, individual taxes, not broad-based taxes, fares, tolls, tuition increases that were focused primarily on the middle class. David Paterson is much more likely to be thoughtful and reflective about those kinds of alternatives than Eliot was when he made this campaign promise not to raise broad-based taxes.
So now we have an issue. Brodsky calls on Paterson to raise taxes on the rich?
Well, yes, in the end, even though I don't think this is the day to do that.
Maybe this is the day to do that. Let's talk about tax hikes, congestion pricing, and other April 1st deadline items, as the new governor must hit the ground running in an economic downturn. Democrat Keith Wright represents Harlem in the state assembly. Republican Dean Scalos represents Long Island in the state senate, and he's the deputy majority leader under Joe Bruno. Welcome back to WNYC, both of you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And let me just start by asking you, Assemblyman Wright, to reflect on this moment. New York is getting a governor from Harlem, and as I said, a governor who has represented a district that includes many, many poor people. What does that mean to your district and to history going in?
Well, you know, certainly Dean Scalos and myself have been witnessing history since Monday, if you will, and it's been an absolute whirlwind. What it means, David Paterson represented Harlem, Central Harlem, Washington Heights, for a good 20 years. And he's been my partner in the legislature since I've been in the assembly for 16 years, very close friends. But it gives the neighborhood a tremendous sense of pride. What is funny to me is that you know, newspapers and radio shows and television shows are talking about, well, who is this guy? We don't know him. People are clamoring to find out what all they can about Dave Paterson, and he's been around for 20 years, and he's been very, very well vetted. He's been a guy who's been in the trenches, if you will, on budget negotiations, and he has a vast amount of experience, and he's absolute jewel, and if you don't know him, get to know him. He will be a joy to serve with, and he'll be an absolute joy for the people of the state of New York, as he runs the state of New York
and I've made no bones about the fact that I think he's a joy to interview. He's been on this program many times, and I always appreciate his candor and his open-mindedness. But in practical terms, do you think that this means something more than symbolic to the people of Harlem from which David Paterson comes? Does it mean you're more likely to move forward on priorities that have been long stalled in Albany, even under Governor Spitzer, that may be of particular interest to your district?
Well, one thing that's of particular interest to me as chair of the Social Services Committee is trying to raise the public assistance allowance, which has not been raised in over 18 years. Poor people on public assistance have been living on $391 a month, not only in Harlem, but all across the state, out in Long Island and upstate New York. And hopefully there is a sense of great expectation that certainly issues will be listened to. What you have to remember, though, Eliot, although he had the confrontational style, was not bad on the substance in his very short tenure as governor. Certainly he was able to put forth more school aid. throughout the state of New York, and he put forth a good ethics reform package. But certainly we are all very hopeful. People of lower economic means and people of, you know, in the upper income brackets, I think we're all very hopeful about the great expectations that we have for our new governor, David Patterson.
All right, and we'll get to that millionaire's tax in a minute. But Senator Scalos,
yes,
you come from a very different kind of district on Long Island. But how do you see the historical moment here? Not the Elliott Spitzer historical moment. I think we all know what we think about that. The David Patterson historical moment.
Well, David is a very decent person. I've had the pleasure of knowing him. Probably the entire time. I think I started in the Senate a little bit before him, and he is a gentleman. You know, there's no question about it. He's likable. He will have a different style than Elliott Spitzer. He's not a steamroller type person. But really, the issue for my constituents is going to be, where does he stand on you know, school aid, a fair share for Long Island and other suburban and upstate communities, and where is he in terms of real property tax relief? Those are the issues that my constituents and so many others throughout the state of New York are struggling with. So that's what they're waiting to see. It's fine. He's a good person. You know, he's going into a position I think David never ever thought would happen. But it's a matter of seeing what his tax policies are and what his legislative policies are.
Well, when you take the position of lieutenant governor, you have to think that it might happen, because it's always possible. And of course, you know, in a bizarre historical twist, another bizarre historical twist, all three of the states in our region, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, have had governors resign in disgrace in the last few years. So a lieutenant governor has to be ready, or at least think about being ready. And Senator Scalos, I gather that the Senate passed your version, that House's version of a budget yesterday.
Right.
Did you make many changes from what Governor Spitzer had proposed?
The main thing we did is we eliminated $1.7 billion in new and higher taxes. I mean, he had some, you know, crazy things in there, like a crack tax. We eliminated higher gas taxes, higher car taxes. Really, and one of the most offensive taxes, quite honestly, is, as we're looking to make healthcare more affordable and insurance more affordable, he had a tax on healthcare policy premiums. So we've eliminated those taxes. And really what the people in this state are looking for are not higher property taxes. They're not looking for higher taxes. They're looking for relief from taxes.
On the crack tax, so-called, just for a second, the governor's point, and I gather some other states do this, is if you're an illegal drug dealer and you get busted, one of the ways that you should be punished is to have to give up what would have been the sales tax on your ill-gotten gains. Why is that so bad?
Well, that, you know what? What is that message that it sends to young people that are being at that point of whether they're going to use drugs or not? That's the message. It becomes another commodity that you put a sales tax on. So, you know, the crack dealers and them, they'll go to jail. But what about the young kid that just all of a sudden says, well, pot, crack, not a big deal. It's just another commodity that they're going to put a sales tax on.
And so, Keith Wright, where is the assembly on some of these changes that the Senate made? Canceling the $350 million in property tax cut for seniors that the governor was going to do. I guess that's restored. This crack tax, if you want to go there, taxing HMOs at a time when we're trying to insure more people, not less. What about those things?
Yeah, I think that what we in the Assembly think that the Senate may not be totally aware of what is what revenues are coming in and what is actually available. I do happen to think that the crack tax was something that was ill-conceived in a lot of ways. It almost, first of all, how do you regulate how much taxes are going to be due on the ill-gotten gains. I mean, I don't understand it at all.
Well, don't you charge the dealer with intent to sell X amount of a drug that has X amount of street value? Doesn't that come up at trial?
Well, I mean, maybe that's what they're caught with, but who knows, you know, how much they've done in the past. I don't know,
yeah.
Year and a half. I mean, what do you do, give them a 1099 form? I mean, I just don't understand
it. Yeah, all right.
I thought it was basically kind of weird.
Is the Assembly going to revive this tax on millionaires proposal to get a second look from the new governor?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, certainly David has been involved in various forms of transition. I think it's something that folks in the Assembly, there is some support for. You know, we all have to pull together. We're in a $4.4 million deficit in the state of New York. We have to get some revenues from somewhere.
We have to control spending.
We
have to control spending.
Too.
It's
that's
not just, time for new programs. And what the Senate has proposed is, Keith, I mean, to say the Senate doesn't know about revenues, traditionally our revenue projections in all the years that I've been in the Senate have been more correct than the Assembly. But the issue, it's not about higher taxes now. It's about economic development. It's about creating jobs. And it's not about chasing people out of this state, whether you're on the lower income level or the higher income level. Many of my constituents and others throughout the state are heading to Florida now. They're spending 6 months there because they're saying, why should we keep paying the taxes that New York State is imposing upon us?
So, Senator Skelos, what different spending cuts are in your version of the budget? How would you impose pain on that side as opposed to the tax side to balance the budget?
One of the things that we have proposed is across-the-board cut of 3% of all state agencies and spending in those areas. And then, you know, you have to reprioritize. Right now, it's not necessarily the time for new programs. What we have to do is three areas, really. Maintain the quality of education in our state, maintain health care, and real property tax relief. That's what my constituents are talking about, and most constituents throughout the state of New York. They want to make New York State affordable to stay in.
So the battle lines are drawn on the budget. Senator Patterson, Lieutenant Governor Patterson, Governor-to-be Patterson is going to walk into the middle of this officially on Monday. He's going to have a news conference this afternoon at 2, his first public appearance since all this started happening on Monday. We will carry it live here on AM 820 WNYC, 93.9 FM. We'll have sound check as usual. We have a few minutes left with Democrat Keith Wright from the State Assembly from Harlem and Republican Dean Skelos from the State Senate from Long Island. And I just want to touch a couple of other things real quick. On congestion pricing, where does that stand right now, Assemblyman? There's a March 31st deadline for that, too, for the hundreds of millions of dollars that the federal government has offered if you pass a plan by then. Does that landscape change under Governor Patterson?
Don't know yet. I mean, we're still waiting for the New York City Council. New York City Council has to vote on this issue before it comes to us. There was a panel. We had Assemblyman Denny Farrell, Assemblywoman Vivian Cook, and I believe Assemblyman Richard Brodsky that sat on this panel to examine congestion pricing. And the issue has to go to the New York City Council, where I think you have somewhere in the area of at least 25 folks that were undecided, maybe
right.
12 folks.
Does the council have the power to kill it and prevent it from going to you in the legislature?
I believe so. We have to have a home rule message coming from the New York City Council before it comes to us in the New York State legislature.
And your own position, Assemblyman?
My own position is that I'm someone who could conceptually be in favor of it. I am from Manhattan. I talked to the mayor about this on Earth Day of last year, and I said, you know, someone could be in favor of it, but, you know, quite frankly, no one has really talked to me about it, and my big concern is that I don't want my community of Harlem being used as a parking lot. There are several ways we could possibly alleviate some of the traffic congestion.
Well, as you know, the mayor just yesterday agreed to a residency parking permit system. In other words, where only residents can park in the neighborhoods right around the line.
You know what, Brian?
Is that good enough for you?
Not good enough for me. You know why? Because certainly I have never really been in favor of a residential parking sort of alignment because it just doesn't fly in a lot of communities, doesn't even work. But we just haven't heard from him. I mean, he announces something, but there's been no discussion, really, with legislators, you know, people who are on the ground in various communities, making a broad-based announcement in the press that we're going to do residential parking when the devil could be in the details. No one's really talked to anybody about this. And the best person to sell this plan is the mayor, and quite frankly, I don't think he's done a particularly good job.
Senator Skelos, very briefly, has he sold it to you?
Not really. I don't think the case has been made how this is going to truly help mass transportation and eliminate congestion pricing. 6% fewer cars. The problem in the city, quite frankly, are all the taxi cabs. It's not people on occasion coming into the city.
Well, you heard the MTA chief the other day say it'll put $4 or $5 billion of capital funding for expansion. That would include things that would benefit the Long Island Railroad, maybe going to the east side of Manhattan, and all kinds of things. What would you say to him?
I did meet with them yesterday, and I've said, first of all, the cost of implementing the program and even the revenue side of it, we don't believe it's even accurate. So remember this, to implement this plan is going to cost at least or close to $1 billion.
You know what, Brian? Let me just say this. You know, as the I'm part of the Capital Budget Program Review Committee, if you put congestion pricing, you have to have the improvements to mass transit before congestion pricing. Because if more are on our transit system, we have to have more expanded service on our bus lines and our rail lines. And the mayor's already said that he's not going to do that expanded service. Or Lee Sanders said he can't do that expanded service until he gets the revenues from congestion pricing.
They'll do some
of the put the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart.
They'll do some express bus expansion first, I gather. Is all.
We
are just about out of time, but Assemblyman Wright, I want to ask you one more thing. Are you at all concerned that David Patterson, the progressive lawmaker, will take a back seat to David Patterson, the conciliator, in terms of his power versus Joe Bruno's as he starts out in office?
Well, listen, what I find is that I hope that all of us, Democrats and Republicans, will try and uplift and help and support this new governor that we have. I think, you know, we have a tremendous sense of hope going on in the Capitol right now. We are in dire financial times, and we all have to put away a lot of the bickering and the rancor that's been going on in Albany, and I hope that we can all come together. As a matter of fact, I'm almost positive we will all come
together. And Senator Skelos, 30 seconds, last question for you. I guess since he was minority leader and you were deputy majority leader, you've worked with David Patterson. His reputation does not include being very organized as a manager, and he's gone through many chiefs of staff, I understand, as a senator. How concerned are you about his management skills as he becomes chief executive?
Again, that remains to be seen, but I just want to pick up what Keith said. We all are going to work closely with David. Senator Bruno is very result-oriented, but we're not going to compromise our principles in terms of raising taxes or anything like that. We want to have a budget that's good for the people of the state of New York.
All right. Go ahead. You can finish your thought.
No, that's all. Just basically, we're focused on reducing property taxes and maintaining quality of health care and education in the state.
Republican State Senator Dean Skelos of Long Island, Democratic Assemblyman Keith Wright of Harlem, thank you both very much for coming on. It's a new day. We'll see how it goes.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And again, we will carry Senator Patterson's Senator, Lieutenant Governor, Governor-to-be Patterson's first news conference as Governor-to-be, 2 o'clock on AM 820 WNYC. And coming up next, a call-in for anyone other than David Patterson, though you may call too, who is legally blind on succeeding without reading. Call us at 212-433-WNYC.